Hi everyone, and welcome back to the English with Kirsty podcast. And today I have another guest, somebody who hasn't been on the podcast before. I know her a bit, but I'm looking forward to finding out more. So welcome, Katarina. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, it's so good to be here. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear what you've got to share with us. But first, let's start by finding out who you are. So maybe you can tell people who you are and what roles languages have played in your life so far.
I'm Katharina. I'm a German translator specializing in women's health, mental health, and the odd legal content. I'm working from English and French into German, and I'm passionate about making complex medical information more accessible to everyone because I feel like that saying, knowledge is power, is really true. And when people have all the necessary information they need, they can make informed decisions about their body and health. And that's a really important thing, in my
Yeah.
opinion. When I'm not translating, you'll find me sharing insights about freelancing, parenting, and health topics on LinkedIn and on Substack. And yeah, I'm trying to be as real and true to life as possible because there's already enough polished hustle culture content out there, and I don't really want to be part of that. And yeah, languages have always been a very big part of my life for as long as I can remember. When I was a kid, I used to play around with sounds, and as soon as I learned how to write, I would make up like writing systems and call them a
Wow.
language, like secret languages to communicate with friends, for example, to share like secret notes and stuff like that.
That's cool.
And yeah, as the true millennial I am, I was completely fascinated with the world of Harry Potter, and I really wanted to learn English because of that. And I started learning English when I was 11, and I think 1 or 2 years later, I started reading the Harry Potter books in English because I wanted to feel closer to my heroes. Then I also started learning French in high school and loved it just as much. I was that kid who would raise their hand at every given moment, and I also did like volunteer assignments and things like that. So yeah, my classmates would constantly roll their eyes at me. Yeah, and fast forward, here I am. I turned my passion into a career. I studied translation in my bachelor and master's degree, and after working as an in-house translator for about a year, I went freelance in 2018 and have been freelancing ever since. Yeah, so foreign languages have surrounded me basically all of my life and have been a big part almost every day. But I guess that holds true for a lot of people on your podcast, so.
I think so. We find that people who are like us, and I was also that kid at school who was like wanted extra homework and really enjoyed. We started with French, and then I decided to add German as well. And it's the German that's been more present since, and other languages have come too. But I was always that. It wasn't just a subject for me. It was like really exciting to find out new ways to communicate, and you can meet new people and talk to them in not in English, and that was always like really
Yeah.
exciting for me. And it's interesting how lots of people on the podcast have been involved with languages from an early age. And I'm you mentioned your links, and I'm going to add them to our page. And I really like the newsletter. I know it's quite a new project for you, but I really like the way that you do that because it's very relatable. I was reading the latest one yesterday, and this is something that makes you feel like somebody that is approachable, is relatable, rather than churning out all the stuff that we see so much of on LinkedIn, which is, yeah, it feels very generic, or doesn't feel like what life is really like when you're an independent professional. And so I think, congratulations on that, because it's not something that everyone achieves to do.
Thank you so much. That really means a lot to me. That's like, it's really important for me to, like I said, be as real and transparent as possible, because comparing yourselves on social media or just in everyday life with other people, it's so easy and you can get lost in it so easily. So it's important for me to share, like, not everything. I'm not gonna share my whole life on the internet, but it's important to share your struggles as well as your successes, I think.
And it's interesting because social media can be a place that is is actually, I don't know, it can go either way, that some content I see could be quite triggering for a number of reasons. Other content is really helpful in a way that gives us information. And another reason that I like LinkedIn, for example, is finding all the people and finding community and finding people that get it. Like, and I guess that's what you're doing with your newsletter as well.
Yeah, it's trying to find people who are not like using social media to give off some sort of vibe, or like let everyone know they're super successful and then people will come to them and buy whatever they ha have to offer or anything like that. I'm more for being human in your business and showing flaws, and I like reading content like that too. So, yeah.
And that kind of feeds into our topic, which the topic for today is networking and, community, building community, networking with others. Would you say that that's something that you did from the beginning? Did you have this idea when you started as a freelancer that that's something you wanted to do, or did it come later for you?
Absolutely not. I was
I'm not
so
joking.
scared of everyone and everything. Unfortunately, when I started out as a freelancer, I continued a very bad habit that I built during my studies, actually, which was when I was at university, we used to have these translation courses in the computer room, computer cabinet. How do you call that? Like a room full of computers, where people would sit down and each student would have their own computer. So yeah, that sort of room. And then one student would be called to share their translation on the screen. And of course you want to get feedback on your translation, because you want to know if you did right or if there's anything that wouldn't need any changes. But I was always so scared of being called by my teacher to share my translation that I always literally hid behind my screen and just
Don't pick me.
sank into my chair and just wanted to be invisible. And for some reason that carried over into my professional life. When I started out as a freelancer, I still wanted to hide behind my screen, and I really didn't want to get noticed by anyone and wanted to be invisible. And so in the beginning, because I still needed work, I mainly worked with agencies, because that was sort of the way to go for me. Like I was invisible enough, but I still got jobs and work and was able to pay my rent and things like that. So the feeling of wanting to connect with others started to grow once I got back from maternity leave, because I had completely underestimated how lonely you'd feel as a new parent. And especially working from home by yourself, that didn't help much either. I didn't get to meet my friends as much. I didn't spend as much time with adults anymore. I didn't, all those exchanges that you'd normally have in your daily life, I didn't have that much anymore with my baby. And Yeah, so I was really craving some sort of connection, and which I didn't have because I never really connected with anyone. So I started joining mentoring programs, for example, and connecting with people on LinkedIn. And everything felt very, very scary at the beginning, like even reacting to a post or commenting, it felt very big and scary. Yeah, I more and more I started stepping outside of my comfort zone. And even if it was just like a tiny little step, like reacting to a post or something like that, and became more comfortable connecting with people and sharing my opinions online. And that was sort of my gateway into networking. It was a natural progression. I was not like, I'm going to network now as much as possible. It was just sort of a very slow natural progression, which was good because anything else, if I would have forced it, I would have fought it more, probably.
Yeah, like you're making me do this. I don't want to. And I think that's like so many things you don't see the progression sometimes. Yesterday, somebody she was on my podcast and she was saying how much has changed for me since we met because we've known each other a bit longer, about 5 years, which isn't so long ago, but a lot has changed in those 5 years. And it's sometimes you don't see, but it is the like step by step doing one thing that's a little bit harder rather than right. Tomorrow I'm going to speak in front of 5,000 people and it's going to be great. It's like, no, that life doesn't really work like that. I think for me, my journey with networking was a bit different because at the beginning, I didn't think about it. I was just too busy trying to, I really wanted to make it work with my business when I started. And I would have benefited from some people who were a bit further down the road than me, but I didn't really know where to find them. So I just kind of got my head down and got on with it on my own. So that happened. And then by the time I realized it would be good to have some people around, it was quite hard for me to find them, people that made sense, either because they were not doing what I was doing or because they were more local businesses where mine is international, but it's not huge. So going to something where there's lots of international massive businesses doesn't work either. So I had to really kind of hunt around it. And now I have my own networking sessions, the Networking for Language Professionals, and I really enjoy all the people that I meet through that. I'm still open to others, especially not in English, because I think that would be really good for me. But once I realized, for me, I realized I wanted to do it and I just wasn't finding what I was looking for. And so I think that's interesting because on my quest to find networking that I enjoyed, I went to lots of different things and people were doing good work. I'm not saying that they weren't, but they didn't work for me. But I think part of this, the problem with this term networking is that it means so many different things to different people, and that is good because we are all different and we work differently. But I think for some people who maybe didn't have a great experience at networking because it was too formal, too salesy, too pushy, too early, because some people like to meet at 7 o'clock in the morning. I cannot do that. It's just not okay. Even something like the time can make it or break it for you.
Oh,
But
absolutely, yeah.
sometimes, I mean, did you have this experience? So once you decided you wanted to network with people more, did you have this like, okay, what do I actually like phase or?
Yes, for the longest time, I just thought that networking was absolutely not for me because I had this sort of outdated view of networking, I guess, where there are like big events and people put on their suits and then there's lots of business talk and lots of keywords, buzzwords floating around and just look professional and act professional. And that really scared me because, I don't have like two personas. Like, I don't have a business persona and a private life persona. They're both the same person. So I always felt like I wouldn't fit in with these kinds of events. And I guess they're still existing, and I guess there are people who are benefiting from them. But that would have never worked for me. So, and I didn't know that there was that there were other ways to network, and that networking can also mean like connecting with people on LinkedIn or just meeting up for coffee call, for example. To me, that's as much networking as like meeting people in real life at like a marketed networking event. For me, that's both the same. So I didn't actively look to find something that would fit my needs. I don't think I knew at the time what my needs were, to be honest. But it was sort of natural through the mentoring program, for example. I got to know some people, and then because I was more active on LinkedIn, I found out about like freelancer communities, for example. For example, the Freelancer magazine has a freelancer community, and Team Translator, who you've also had on your podcast recently, I think. Those are two communities that I ran into. Just like it wasn't planned. I wasn't looking for anything, but it just popped up on my screen one day, and I was like, oh, that's actually really nice. Like, people with somewhat of the same profession and background getting together, sharing insights and things like that. That's somehow how I got more into networking and found out that more laid back, more personal networking would be my type, my format of networking.
Yeah, because I think it's, I mean, I wouldn't class myself as an introvert. I think I'm somewhere in between. But for people who enjoy those kind of, I definitely enjoy one-to-one conversations. And I had one with someone the other day when we've been exchanged a couple of messages on LinkedIn, and then we got together for a coffee, and it was nice. Nobody was trying to sell anything. It was just, have a coffee with someone, find out what else you have in common that you maybe didn't realize, and then yeah, just putting faces and voices to the names on LinkedIn. I think there's a lot of value in that, and that's how we begin to build relationships, especially if you're somebody that doesn't like big, overwhelming events. I mean, if you do, great, there's plenty of them around. But if you don't, and I'm not a big events kind of girl, because I find it like sensory overstimulation is a thing. I don't enjoy it. But one-to-one conversations, and that's why sometimes from coming to something a bit bigger, like there have been people that have come to my networking events, which are anything from like sometimes it's just like six or seven people. Sometimes we had one that was 20 people recently, because we were talking about marketing and everybody wants to know more about marketing, I think. So they're not huge, but they vary in size. But sometimes you can just meet someone at something like that and then decide, okay, this person's really interesting. I didn't get enough time to talk to them. Let's have a coffee. And then you can have a more personal conversation, and without it feeling pressured, because it's just you and the other person. I just want to go back to what you said about your experiences. I'll add the link for Team Translator on our page, because we mentioned them. What was the other one?
The freelancer magazine community.
Okay, I don't know this.
The freelancer magazine is like a magazine that I think comes out every 3 months, and they have a very big community with like mostly creative freelancers, I think, but there are also a lot of people working in the language and translation industry that are part of that community.
And that's on LinkedIn, or
Yes, it's on LinkedIn, and you can also be like a paid member, I think, and then you get the magazine and can visit more of their like more events that they're putting up and things like that.
and that's in English.
That's in English, yeah.
Okay. Oh well, I want to look into that for myself. I'm interested, and either inside or like during the podcast or afterwards, if you're aware of anything in German that is similar, I would like to know. So if you, any of the listeners know for actually what we're talking in the podcast, if any of the listeners know about anything similar to this in German, then yeah, let me know because I'm interested for me. I will add the link to the show notes page as well.
I'm trying to think of something in German, but oh shoot, I can't think of anything.
That's fine. I mean, that's why I started the German networking, to be honest, because like, well, partly because it was a challenge for me, and maybe we'll go into this a bit later about, networking in an additional language is challenging. Running a networking meeting in a different language is challenging. But I'll come back to that. But it is the reason why I did the German one, because I wasn't finding what I was looking for. So I thought, okay, well, we already have the English ones, and the format would work in German as well, of course. So let's do it.
I really like that you were just like, I'm not finding what I'm looking for. I'm just gonna do it myself. I really like that.
That's kind of how the networking started in the first place, to be honest, my networking meetings. But yeah, sometimes you can complain that the thing doesn't exist, or you can get over your fear of, because there is some fear for me at least. It's much easier in your first language. But
Yeah, that's true. And I
but for
really liked, sorry.
yeah, no, carry on.
I really liked what you said about like building a relationship with someone and building like a connection, because that's you don't just want to be surrounded by people who you know like very superficially, and you need people around you that know you better and who you know better, and that's how you also like make a name for yourself, I guess. If you build a relationship and a connection with people, then you're more likely to stay top of mind, probably, if they ever come across anything or anyone who would be interested in whatever you are offering without ever selling anything. So I thought that was like a nice gimmick to this whole networking thing.
And obviously something is working because I was talking to someone a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned your name because I thought that you would be a good contact. And she said, "Yeah, I know her already." So, yeah, it's
It's kind
working.
of scary. I have to say, it's kind of scary when people start to know your name. Like I said, I always was the person hiding behind the screen, and now I'm somewhat starting to get a name or like make a name in the industry, and people know who I am, and that's kind of scary, but also really nice because whatever I'm doing seems to be working somehow.
But further back, you weren't like you started the story with like the child who was always putting her hand up, and like that's
How did
this
that
hiding
happen?
behind the screen that came later, but originally you that wasn't who you were.
Yeah, that's true. It's the question is who was I really, right? Am I really the one hiding behind the screen or the one raising her hand all the time? Or maybe I'm both, depending on how comfortable I feel.
Maybe you're both, maybe you're somewhere in between. So before we go on to the language specific aspects, what we've touched on it already, but what would you say are the benefits for us as independent professionals, as freelancers, of networking? Like, why is it important for us as individuals and for the business?
I think it's pretty simple. People need to know you exist. Because if no one knows that you exist, how are people ever going to find out what you have to offer? I know there's a lot of effort involved in networking, and that some people may be scared of putting a lot of effort into it and then not getting anything back in return, especially if you're still trying to figure out what kind of networking suits you and your needs. But I think it's an investment, it's a time investment that I think will eventually pay off, not instantly, of course, but with time, when you build a network and people know what you're offering and that you're reliable. and trusted, then people will get back to you at some point if they ever need your services. So I think it's an investment that will pay off eventually through recommendations or inbound projects or just through support. If you have a rough time, then there are people you can rely on that you can talk to, or even things like skills exchanges. You know someone who can show you how to do something. These are all valuable things that can help you grow as a person and also as a business owner.
And that is invaluable. I mean, like, I have a regular skill exchange with someone, and it's been going for a few years now, but we do different things for one another. She does something for me that I don't want to learn, but also physically can't do. But and I do something for her, and it's really nice that I mean, I believe if you're taking service from someone, yeah, it should be fair. We shouldn't always be working for free, but if there is an exchange that makes sense, that you can both help each other, then why not? Because when you're working with colleagues, I often had times where I would do things for other people that wasn't my job necessarily, and that they do something for me, and like you find these exchanges, so why shouldn't we as freelancers do it as well?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I wasn't also not talking about like doing everything for free or like asking people to do something for you for free. I was just like, for example, I worked on like a document about how to get top-notch translations for like translation bias, especially first-time translation bias. And so I wrote everything down and got it up and running. And then I asked a colleague, for example, if they could have a look at it for me with a fresh pair of eyes, because I already had worked so much on the document that I became, oblivious to any mistakes I had made, if it was typos or I don't know if I made myself clear enough or anything. So I asked a colleague if she would be able, or if she would be willing to have a look over it. And yeah, she was really nice, and she said yes. And so we did that, and I left her a recommendation, for example, on LinkedIn for that. Things like that, like just exchanges, helping each other out, supporting each other. Yeah, that's something I really like, especially about the translator community on LinkedIn. It's such a warm and welcoming space, and everyone just wants everyone to thrive, and there's no like competition or anything. And I really like that. It's such a warm place to me.
It is, and I'm an imposter, but no, I know a lot of people from within the translation community now, and some of my customers are there too, and I end up in spaces where relevant topics are discussed because I want to learn more so that I can be a more useful to my clients. But just the day-to-day, sharing, helping each other, and I find it is a really nice space to be on LinkedIn. So if anyone's listening and hasn't had great experiences in other parts of LinkedIn, I find well, obviously if it's relevant to you, but I find the translation community is a really friendly space. And
Yes.
also just helping, like advice, like you develop the relationships where you can go to people and say, oh, what do you think about this idea? Or this didn't work for me. Can you think of what I could do differently next time? You can't just go up to a complete stranger. Well, you can, but yeah, there has to be something there to begin with. And spending the time cultivating those relationships and really getting to know people helps you to find who will be those good people, like trusted colleagues. If we had colleagues, I guess they are kind of colleagues, aren't they? Even though we don't work for the same company. But that's how you find them. It doesn't come from one day to the next. It's because you've spent time in the past, both of you, developing that relationship. So I was going to ask you about what you enjoy about networking, but is there anything else that we haven't? For me, it's the people, but the conversations, what you can learn and.
I guess what I like most about networking is that you feel less alone. I already said that the main reason I started networking more was because I felt quite lonely. And Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's like a DM exchange on LinkedIn or if you meet up online or in real life. You're just able to make a connection with someone, and then you automatically feel less alone. And that's a really, really nice feeling for someone who, is working by themselves from their home. And yeah, I guess that's the part I enjoy most about I enjoy most about networking.
Yeah, me too. And sometimes you never know what will happen. Like some opportunities that you weren't looking for will come your way because of the
That's a nice side
conversation.
effect, yeah. What would you say is the best thing about networking?
I think the conversations, I feel like I have so many opportunities to learn new things, whether it's, about someone else's culture, because a lot of my networking is very international, or about something that will help me either as a person or as a business owner, or just seeing different perspectives, because I think sometimes we can get really hyper focused when we work alone on what we're doing, our challenges, like in an
Yeah.
office, sometimes you have this distraction of finding out what happened to another colleague, or like, so sometimes we can get too in our head with the problems that, well, not problems necessarily, but just with what's going on. And I think it's really important, especially for us, to get different perspectives
Yeah.
to help us to be a bit more balanced and to see things in a different way.
Yeah, right. Because when you're working by yourself, there's like no one you can bounce ideas with. Or like exchange ideas with, or like get some input from, or a second opinion. And yeah, that's really valuable.
And sometimes it's just like, well, why don't you try? Oh, I didn't think of that. Like,
Yeah,
it's you just,
been there.
and honesty as well. Like, if you want to have an opinion about something that you're doing, but also accountability, because like, we mentioned the German networking, but that was because I was saying, oh yeah, maybe I'll do that. And then so when are you going to do that? Like somebody asked me, so you're going to start in June or May? Or like, okay, I've said I'm going to do this now. And I am that person. If I've said I'm going to do it, I will do it, because, well, unless there's a really good reason not to. But like, once I'm committed, I will see it through, which is why I take a bit longer to commit sometimes, because like, am I really going to do this? Do I really want this?
Yeah.
But if I've said yes, then I will do it. But sometimes if you said to someone else what you're going to do, then there's an accountability there that you think, okay, well, this is out there now in the world. I have to.
Yes. Yeah, that's such a good point. I hadn't actually thought about, but yes, I am very much a person who needs like some kind of accountability because I won't start anything. Well, I will work on my projects, of course, but like apart from paid projects, it's hard for me to get started on anything because, imposter syndrome, perfectionism, whatever you want to call it. For example, that newsletter I started 2 months, a month back. That's, I need accountability. I need to talk to someone about something, and once I've said it out loud, it's easier to commit to it and actually go through with it. So, yeah, that's actually a very valuable part of networking that you have someone who can nudge you
I mean, did you do the thing? How is it going with the whatever it is? But yeah, in a good way.
yeah,
But
in a very good way.
yeah, that's what gets things done. And I think sometimes the things that we need most nudge with, like, are the things that take us out of our comfort zone in some way. Like maybe you with the newsletter if you hadn't done one before. Me with the German networking, because I already had the networking meetings, but to run something in another language is different, and to attend something in another language is different. I went to Romanian networking meetings in the past. So I thought we could maybe touch on this as well, because this is a podcast about language and using other languages. What would you say the experience has been like for you? Like, what challenges do we have using our other languages that we don't have in our first language? And how has that been for you? How do you, I wouldn't say overcome, but how do you get past some of these challenges, or how do you deal with them?
Yeah. So I do most of my networking in English, and that like networking in a foreign language can be very scary, especially I think especially if you work in the language industry, because language is our bread and butter, and we don't want to be seen as unprofessional because we're struggling to find the right words or something like that. But I found that most people are very welcoming and very appreciative when they find out that you're not speaking in your native language. And I think one of the biggest challenges, or one of the things that make people stay away from networking in a foreign language, is, but what if I can't remember a certain word? But or what if I, my mind just goes blank and I can't remember anything? That happened to me on several occasions
Me too.
at networking events, and I've always found that people are very helpful. You can always describe, if you can, what you're trying to say, and then you can maybe find a way to express it with the help of the other people, or just from describing, they'll know what you mean. Or when that happened to me, I now always have an open tab on my computer with a dictionary, and I'll just have that open. And, whenever I feel like I can't remember a certain word or I'm struggling to express something, then I can just say, hey, one sec, I'm gonna have to look something up. I don't know this word. And then I'll look it up, and there's never been any problem with that, really. Another thing that I feel like can be a challenge is what is appropriate in a certain language or in a certain culture, even for networking. I just recently read a LinkedIn post saying that Germans take English swear words and use them in their day-to-day lives very lightly
So
and
do
very
German
often.
advertisers sometimes. I've seen some like examples of things that people put on big advertising like
Yes.
boards. I'm like, wow, okay, into that.
So I feel like, for example, the in German, like the it's not as bad to say certain swear words. I think there are certain swear words that don't have a place anywhere, in my opinion, but like there are certain swear words you can get away with in German, even in a networking event. It depends on the networking event. But if it's more of an informal one, you may get away with it. So it may be a bit difficult, for example, to see what is appropriate in different networking settings and in that culture I am now in, or
Yeah,
I'm
especially if it's
communicating
mixed as
with.
well, like you've got people from different
Yes.
cultures, but you've got,
Yeah. You really don't want to offend anyone. That would be like the worst case scenario. So that may be a big challenge, like finding out what's too formal, what's too informal. That I think that's a big concern with people, and which maybe one of the reasons why some people don't want to get into networking in a foreign language in the first place.
Yeah, I think it takes courage saying that as someone who's done it as well, especially with a language that is not like my Romanian is my German is better than my Romanian, but I went to these Romanian networking events and everybody was super kind because I was the only non-native speaker there
Yeah.
every time. So, but everybody was I believe I was anyway, I'm fairly sure. But everybody was really kind and encouraging, even when I was really struggling. And then it's like, do you want to do it in English? No, I have started. Thank you for your offer, but I'm going to finish this because I'm too stubborn to back down.
Yeah.
But I think for me, the two things that I learned is that, oh, three actually. One is that it is possible to over prepare, and preparing is good, but over preparing, I had all these notes and all the possible questions that people could ask me and how I would respond in good Romanian, because I asked a friend to check it, but I was distracted trying to find the right answer in my notes, and it
Oh,
really
yeah.
stopped the flow of the conversation. The second thing was that sometimes it's maybe not so much in international events, but when I was the only one there, I was memorable, maybe just as somebody who was having a hard time, but like somebody did actually say, like, that takes courage to do that. So like,
Yeah.
well done. But sometimes if you are memorable, whether it's because of using another language or because like I'm often the only person doing what I do in the events that I attend, like being memorable in a good way is not a bad thing. And I said there were three things. What was the other thing? Like don't overthink it, because I was at an event in German and someone asked a question and my mind just went blank. I was like, I can't, it's not that I don't know it. I can't translate it. I do not know the answer. I don't know what I would say. And in English, I would just say, well, that's just, no one's asked me that before. I have no idea. But in German, I felt like this super pressure, like to have a good answer. And I didn't. And I think sometimes, like, some questions, there's no reason I should have known the answer. It was like, what would you say about this? Or how would you, what animal is your business? I can't even remember what it was now, but it was something just like, I need to be creative and I can't do it on the spot like that.
But it is a trick question.
If something would be hard in your first language, don't be harder on yourself in your additional one, because sometimes it's really hard to think of something on the spot, or even like, what's your, I don't know, I can't think of one now, but like sometimes people spring questions on you and it's okay not to have an answer sometimes, or to say, I need to, can you come back, or can you come back to me, or if it's a like a round where you're all giving an answer. I don't know, but I think I was a lot harder on myself because I couldn't be so spontaneous in German than I would have been in English. In English, like, oh, stupid question. No, I don't know if I said it's a stupid question, but I wouldn't have given myself such a hard time. And I think sometimes we can do that. Oh, and the other thing, I know I said there was three. One thing I found hard is, I remember it was in the Romanian meetings, and somebody asked about, what is your marketing strategy for the next year? And I did have one. I didn't know what I was trying to do, but it was like, I know that I could explain that a lot more articulately in English, and I could sound like I know what I'm doing more. And it's sometimes bridging this gap between the version of you when you're talking confidently about something in one language, and then finding the, not necessarily the words, but coming across in the same way. And that is a challenge, especially if it's a language that you're not using every day, or that's a newer language for me, like with Romanian. But if you don't speak any other language a lot, it can happen too. But the only way you're really going to push through that is to do it. And then the next time it's a bit easier. Next time it might be harder because the question's harder, but overall, it will get easier the more that you do it.
And you can sound confident and professional when even when you use like simple vocabulary or simple sentence structures. There's always like I always have the feeling that people, when they're speaking in a foreign language, they always want to sound like eloquent, especially in a business scenario or in a networking scenario, because they want to seem like professional, confident, whatever. But you can be confident and professional with just simple vocabulary, simple sentence structures. You don't have to put that much pressure on yourself.
And doing that in a more confident, relaxed way does actually come across better than stumbling over your words because you can't find the right complicated word, or even maybe you lose people because you're trying to pitch it, like using words that not everybody knows, or you can lose your audience that way by trying to be too sophisticated, and it doesn't give you more credibility, especially if you can't pull it off. But also, like, if you're losing some of the people around you, that's also not a good thing. But I think we do feel this pressure, especially in a business context when we're the face of our business. Sometimes we feel this pressure to be really professional and really know what we're talking about. But sometimes when I'm speaking with my clients, I think, you know the words to express that. I think some people try to translate too much. Like, what do I want to say? And now translate, because that's making your brain do extra work. It is harder to think in another language, but if you are translating everything you want to say, that is a lot more work for your brain to do, and you will naturally use more complex structures in your first language, and so it will naturally be more complicated for you to then translate that into another language. So the less you can do that, the better it will be. If it will feel more natural if you can try to reduce this translation that's going on.
That's true. And it will get better with time, right? I mean, the more you practice it, the more comfortable you feel, and the more comfortable you feel trying out, I don't know, new vocabulary or new ways to express yourself. So.
And also different people will, some people will really bring out their, will help you to feel more confident. I remember somebody, because we had breakout rooms with the Romanian group, and there was somebody that I worked with more frequently because we both attended pretty much every week. And I always felt like, oh, great, we're in the breakout room together. I can relax a bit more. And some people will help you to feel more calm. Some people will stress you out because they're, I don't know, but you can't let yourself be affected so much by external things that you can't control. It's better to be, confident in yourself and to know who you are. But there are definitely people who will make that process easier for you. Yeah, so I hope that we've encouraged, if there were some people who were more reluctant to look at networking, because as we've said, networking is so many different things. It can just be one-to-one. It doesn't have to be big. It can be online. It can be face-to-face. It can be even just starting by interacting with people. It doesn't even have to be speaking at the beginning. It can just be commenting on someone's post or liking it. It has to be what's right for you. And nobody has to do it if you really don't want to, but there are a lot of benefits if you decide that you do want to give it a try. Any final tips that you give?
I just say try out a few different formats, whether that's like online or in real life, or like co-working sessions, for example. I know that these exist as well. If you're a member of a professional association, for example, there are also ways to meet other people from that association and get together with them as well. So feel free to just look around and try out a few things and see what you like and what you don't like. And then, don't put too much pressure on it, I guess.
Try and have fun. Yeah,
It can be fun. It sounds, if you would have told me like a few years back that I'd find networking to be fun, I would have laughed at you probably.
but and if there's an activity that you don't enjoy, you never have to do it again if you don't want to, or like try and see why you didn't enjoy it. Maybe it was just right activity, wrong people, or you were just having a bad day. But if you can find out what it was you didn't enjoy, then it's easier to try and find something else that would be more enjoyable for you. And the links that you've mentioned, I will put them all in our show notes page. So if you want to come and check out the newsletter, I'll link that as well. And yeah, thank you for your time. Thank you for having this conversation with me, because I think it's a really important topic for all of us as freelancers or self-employed people. And yeah, I think it's something that it's easy to push things away when nobody's telling you have to do them, because we don't have a boss that's saying, oh, you need to go to networking for the company. Like, it's something we have to choose to do if we do. But and so it's easier to push these things, yeah, I'll do it next week, next year, whenever. But It doesn't have to be scary. I think that's what I want to leave people with.
I second that. And thank you so much for having me. It was a real pleasure.
It's been great, and hopefully you'll come
I hope so
back.
too.
Thank you. So have a great week, everyone, and we'll be back next week with another episode.